thanks once again for your company on the Jock and Jerno show. We've got a big show in store once again. It's Jay Clark here. Braden Cox, hello to you, mates.
How's it going, Jay? You look a bit tired, mate.
Really? It was early and cold this morning when I got up, Coco. Last night, I took a lasagna out of the freezer to defrost it. I'm in a 120-year-old house. Fair to say when I got up at 5:30 a.m. this morning, hadn't defrosted much. Still like an ice bog, Scotty. The five-time Copeland Trophy winner, five-time All-Australian, three-time Anzac Day medalist, Scotty Pendlebury. How you going, mate? How you going?
Good. Really well.
Yeah.
Getting close to the mid-season break now. And I'm tossing up at the moment whether I stay in this lovely weather or go find some sunshine for a weekend somewhere. So probably the sunshine's the option at the minute, mate.
You're $1.10 to be in Byron Bay or Noosa or Port Douglas or something like that in a few days, mate. If I know, you got a Twitter message the other day. It said, you call Scott the five-time, three-time. Why don't you add the Norm Smith medal? You know, this person said, that's an equally high accomplishment, the Norm Smith medal. Why don't I throw that in there as well? Do you want me to put the one-time Norm Smith?
If you want to scale it back, mate, I'm fine with that as well. I don't know. Look, if you're going to start talking about the awards, mate, we don't want the intro to be that long, do we?
Do you regard the Norm Smith? Is that the most treasured, like, other than your premiership medals, is your Norm Smith your sort of your most coveted award? Or how do you rank them?
No, like I remember when I was young, how do you rank them? But when I was like first started, like the thing that I wanted to make was the All-Australian team. So that was like one of the, I don't know, I just seen it as
did
like
you write
really
that
good
on the,
recognition.
Write that on the mirror? Or?
On the mirror, yeah. Went up there. So, yeah, I wanted to make an All-Australian side. I just, I don't know, it just seemed like all the really good players made an All-Australian side. Mm-hmm. So that was one. Yeah, I wanted to make All-Australian and wanted to try and win a BNF. So that were the two for me.
Did you see Clay Thompson's reaction when he missed out on the All-NBA and how salty he was in that press conference?
I've missed out on a few All-Australian teams. And if it was going to cost me 30 mil, I would be so salty.
Yep.
It's a weird one there. Like, they have coaches, media, everyone vote on their All-NBA teams.
Yeah.
So it'd be like our Australian. You've got 100 people vote and you get like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yep.
And then whoever gets the most fives, you're automatically in.
Yep.
So for us, it'd be you'd have 22 votes and you've got to pick your team and your vote is worth the same as Alistair Clarkson's or Bucks's.
Probably not right, is it?
Yeah, it just seems weird. So, but that cost him 30 mil, so I'd be pretty salty too.
Would you have had Clay Thompson in ahead of Kemba Walker or Russell Westbrook?
That's where it's so tricky because he's a two-way player, he's a gun, but he also sacrifices a lot for success. So, it's hard that, like, I hate bonuses by making teams that you don't have any control over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if there was coaches of every one of those teams and you had to go play a game, would you rather Kemba or Clay?
Clay.
I'd rather Clay every day of the week. He's such a good fit. Even Russell Westbrook, I think, was third team as well. I'd rather Clay than him in a game.
You're not a Russell man, are you?
No, I'm not, because he basically just wants the ball and that's it on his team. So, it's always a funny one because I say for us with the All-Australian side, there's 40 guys that make the squad and you announce 22.
Yep.
Steve Canelio last year didn't make the team.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, I think most people thought he should have made the team, but it comes down to their opinions of five people. So, I wonder if the coaches could release. Do they do their version of the All-Australian side?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think they do.
Yeah.
No.
How cool would it be if they all had to sit down and submit their All-Australian side?
Yeah.
How different that would look to the selectors, because there's no doubt the selectors of the All-Australian side don't watch every game. So they get caught up in hype or what's just happening or who's getting media at that time.
Numbers.
Which is understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't think five panel members can watch nine games a weekend. But it'd be interesting to see.
If they did it, it would undermine the All-Australian team possibly, because missed out a few years ago, which was a bit of a hot topic.
I think with our awards time of the year, we could do so much better.
You want to condense it.
Condense it into like one night at the Brownlow.
Mm-hmm.
In the room, the All-Australian people are already there. You hope, apart from Swanee that year, who's dressed as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I think they do Mark of the Year. They do Gold of the Year, I think, already.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe condense it into one big night, have a big showpiece.
Yeah.
Like, I know the players have been pushing a fair bit recently about being able to rock up to games in whatever they want to wear type things. Maybe you do the Brownlow or the awards night and players can, within reason, they can wear what they want to wear. You know, you don't want guys, I know, like a Geordie to go, would probably rock up in a white suit with white cons. Like, we don't want that. Who was a kid that had that party years and years ago?
Corey Worthington.
Yeah, we don't want a Corey Worthington rocking up. But, yeah, I think that'd be good. Like, it'd be a good look, just see a bit of the players' personalities, the awards night. Yeah.
The end of the show, I think I want your left field All-Australian selection at the end of the year. I think you can come up with that. I got one in my mind, and we're going to get yours at end of the season. Hey, before I ask you about your goal of the week, Snub, we are proudly presented by the George, 162 Collins Street. Scotty, get down there. I'll tell you what, you walk up to the bar, you get the sticky chili caramel wings, you get a nice big beer, Scotty, you'd get a sparkling water, I'd get a nice big beer, Cocker, I'd get one of those fruity cocktails probably. And then and then you finish off with the slow-cooked lamb shoulder. Mate, it's got the, I'm a big coriander man, the lemongrass, the chili, it's absolutely amazing. And then just having a good time. Sounds absolutely good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's Cocco's fruity cocktail.
Oh, yeah.
It's easy to have a good time at the George.
162 College Street, get down there. Now, Scotty, your goal of the week, it was a sensational goal against Sydney last weekend. Just take us through that for a second, because it was pretty prominent on the highlight reels and one of your highlights of the season. No goal of the week nomination, though. I thought that was a bit harsh.
Yeah, it's funny to look back. I don't really look back too much, but on the Tuesday, I was pretty surprised. I was waiting for a phone call from someone. I just never won a goal of the week nomination before or been in the top three, so I thought I'd get a phone call from Walshy or Shane Collins, Wags, one of the three. So fair to say, I gave them all a call and asked if they had any news for me, and they didn't. And look, there were some fantastic goals. I think Charlie Cameron ran into an open goal from 15 out and snapped it. And, but he did run a long way. He ran without the ball for most of it, so I didn't know it was how far you can run and kick a goal. There was nothing to mine, really. It was 50 metres out on the boundary, dribbled through on the wet. Who would have thought? Anyway.
Oh, I liked it, mate.
I celebrate nothing. A bit harder.
Yeah. I think you do get that.
I've played a lot of games and I haven't won one of them before.
That was your best chance.
I was pretty stiff and that was my best chance. And yeah, unfortunately.
You didn't celebrate enough.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I sort of expected it to go in. So I think you celebrate if you get surprised.
Oh, that's cold. I love it. The double pipes. 288 games, 12 more to go to your 300th, which could come if you stay fit and healthy and in the tremendous shape that you are in round 23.
Yes.
Milestone right on the eve of finals. Hey, speaking of massive games, we've got one on Monday for the annual Queen's birthday. Blockbuster against the Demons, of course. Has it not become the second biggest day on the football calendar? I think Anzac Day has a special place. Anzac Day Eve, we love that and celebrate that. But the feeling and buzz and goodwill and the amazing work that's been done on this stage over the past, say, 5 years in particular, has it really elevated itself?
Yeah, it's like from when it first started, is this the fifth one now?
Yep.
Fifth one. For an example, people, it's known as the Queen's birthday game 5 years ago, whereas everyone I speak to now call it the M&D game or Big Freeze at the G. Are you playing in that game? Like, no one even calls it Queen's birthday anymore. The buzz, the atmosphere, the introduction of the slide that, you know, coaches, players, whatever it is, have gone down, celebrities. And then just what Neil's done, I think everyone understands the significance of how much money he's raised for the disease and, him being the face of the whole campaign as well makes it really real, I suppose. So, it's an amazing game to play and the buzz is unbelievable because so many people get there early for that slide.
Yep.
You know, so you've got 60-odd thousand an hour before the game starts in there laughing, carrying on. And, I think it's a fantastic game, one that we're fortunate, again, to be a part of. And, it makes the football game seem, you know, a little bit insignificant to what they're doing and how much money they raise and the awareness they raise as well.
It's touched you and your family in a very personal way and really major way, obviously. It claimed your grandfather, Noel, a few years ago. Coming into this weekend, does it feel personal for you?
Yeah. Well, I do the MND sort of press with Nath Jones, or I have traditionally anyway, so I'm not sure who they'll send this year. But and I think it was his grandfather as well that passed away with MND. So, yeah, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have known what MND was. And then with my grandpa passing, you know, I got an appreciation for what the disease is, how brutal it is. It's pretty horrible. Like, my grandpa went from fully healthy to 9 months later passing away. You just see the deterioration. And sort of just the questions, you're like, you know, is there a drug to stop this? And then you learn all about, you know, it's probably like one of the only ones where you can't stop it, slow it down, things like that. And then to see Neil do what he's doing, and that's why I don't like to think I throw extra support behind the game, but I understand what they're fighting. And I didn't really get what MND was. And then, yeah, as you said, you know, it's been, you know, my grandfather passed away from it. So, mm-hmm. yeah, and I know, like, my dad appreciates what Neil does as well, and mm-hmm. So does the family.
Yeah. So when you would go back to Sale and see him, you know, every so often.
Yeah.
What was it like seeing his condition deteriorate so significantly so quickly?
Yeah, so he was, he was quite a quirky grandpa. You know, he had his little veggie patch in the backyard and loved his fishing and horses. And every time he'd go over there, he'd be walking around, you know, cleaning his boat or doing something like that.
Pretty active.
Really active. And then, yeah, it was just a period of time where he was a bit sick, like he wasn't eating and stuff like that. Or would go out for dinner and, you know, he'd eat half a plate of food and that was it. And, I think about a month later, mum and dad and, you know, his wife at the time were like, you know, maybe we'll go to the doctor and just see what's wrong. Maybe it's something wrong with your stomach. And then, yeah, after I think a month or 6 weeks of all the tests that come back with MND, and then, it was almost like a light switch went off and he just started losing weight. And then got to the point where I'd go back to Sale and I'd go around to see him. And you're just seeing a guy that's like a shell of himself that was just sitting on the couch. He was 30 kilos lighter. Couldn't get off the couch without the help of me and my brothers.
Devastating.
And it's just sort of, par as you knew him, that was like you were never going to see him like that again. So, and hard for everyone in the family to see that sort of, you know, a really bubbly character deteriorate so quickly. But, it gave us an understanding of what MND was firsthand and, what Neil does is so important because there's so many families going through it. Last year, Murray Swinton was involved too at the club and played a big part. He passed away around the grand final last year, and we still support his family, his wife, the boys as well. And
he seemed to have a big impact on the footy club. I mean, judging by the way Nathan Buckley was speaking about him, you know, and his appearance last year, Did he have that massive impact?
Yeah, we had people, and we always do, we have people come in and talk and, motivational speakers or stories or whatever, just for guys to get an appreciation of what we do and how lucky we are, or just to get a different look on life and things like that. And, Murray was just, he come in, he had a chat, and it just sort of resonated with everyone. And I don't know, it might be the new way of football, but everyone just had this feeling that chat or his appearance meant more to our group than, I don't know, just the normal speaker or the high profile guy we had the week before or 2 weeks before. And Bucks was instrumental in striking up that relationship. And Murray, after he come in and did the MND stuff, and Bucks went down the slide with the fire he's had on, and every time you go into Bucks's office now, he's got the fire hat still sitting there, like it's the first thing, it's the biggest thing he's got in his office pretty much. So that had a huge impact on the group. And, even in the prelim final, he come down and spoke to us. And, all the boys love seeing Murray and his family in and around the place last year.
Great. Must be great grounding. Yeah, we talk about the pressure of football clubs and winning and losing and that missed goal or whatever, or what someone said in their press conference. There just seems to be this unbelievable grounding at the Pies whereby, I don't know, everything just seems really in perspective, and clearly you and Bucks drive that. It just seems to seep through everything you guys do now.
Yeah, well, I think it's important that you do have an understanding of what you actually do. So, we know that we provide people like a lot of happiness. They love watching us play. Mm-hmm. But we also love getting to know people and hearing their story, what they do. You know, Murray was a firefighter. had some pretty, you know, cool stories that the boys love hearing, because
yep.
We don't live a sheltered life, but all a lot of these guys know is school to professional football. Like, you know, when you talk about, you know, being fiery or a police officer coming in speaking or businessmen and stuff, like we have a lot of questions because we've never seen that part of the world yep. before. You know, we've come yep. in football, bang,
yep.
straight away. So, you know, it's funny with the game, people often ask me, you know, would you go down the slide when you retire? Because, you know, you can't do it an hour before a game. I was like, it's a game of footy. You could make me go down 20 minutes before. I'd go down the slide Monday. If Neil Danaher said, can you go down the slide? Absolutely. Like, no qualms. Bucks would say that's fine.
Yeah. Well,
I'll go down the slide if they want me to, because I'm in the ice bath for 30 seconds, get up, get changed, go out and play.
Well,
I don't think that would be being, because I already can see what people would say. If we lost the game, it'd be like, oh, he shouldn't have done it. It was disrespectful. Oh,
give me a spell.
It's not about that. It's about, for me, raising awareness. And by me doing it, if that got more people there paying more money, whatever, to help fight, I'd love to do it, as long as Nathan Jones went before or after me. No, well, I know Jonesy would do it as well.
Yeah,
I would do it by myself happily.
Well, this is what's going to happen when this gets out there. You're going to be asked. I'm absolutely certain. Will you go down the slide on Monday?
100%
before the game,
unless there was pushback about preparation or something here.
If Walshy really cracks it,
which there wouldn't be.
Yeah,
I would go down. Look, if Bucks could go down and coach,
yeah,
that's more. I think that's harder than going out there and playing. You know, his brain's got to be high functioning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I couldn't see it being an issue.
Well, I think you're going to make history, Scotty. I think this very personal cause is going to get a big push of support when you go down there on Monday. I'm certain absolutely. You're going to get that, message from the Danaher family.
I'm in an ice bath under the MCG change rooms anyway before a game.
Are you?
Yeah. So before? So it doesn't – it's not like I'm not – haven't done that already.
Yep.
I might even go down and just stay in. Staying for a minute. Guys, we've got 10 more minutes left in here and then I'll be out.
You know what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Yeah. You might just crash the party anyway, but the enthusiasm in your voice, you don't even need an invite. You're just going to go down the slide, which would be great. And maybe Nathan Jones can do it too.
Yeah.
Because, as you said, his grandfather passed, but I've heard a lot of his press conferences spoken with great class and humility around that as well. So, Jonesy and Pendles, I think that'd be amazing.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
It's going to be so cool.
I think too, even last year with both coaches going down, you've seen how much like that caught the attention and everyone was like dumbfounded. It's like, but you guys play today. You guys coach today.
Yeah.
It's like it's an hour and 15 minutes before the game. Like,
yeah.
Usually you look out. Well, Bucks last year, he was doing it and the whole playing group was standing there watching him having a laugh.
Like, yeah.
You know, guys know when to switch on.
Yeah.
And that's my thing is like if they needed me and they want me to do it,
yeah,
happily do it. So,
yeah.
And I think the thing that I'm starting to notice with the game too is a lot more neutral people come. That don't go Collingwood, Melbourne. They just come because they love the atmosphere, love the game.
100%.
And support the day, which I think is fantastic.
There is the walk. There's, I think, Neil's walk now from Federation Square, which I was part of last year, going to the ground. And it's an unbelievable feeling, the atmosphere. Yeah. A real, I don't know. It's different to the normal footy games because there's a real warmth or a positivity and just a shared bond or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's something that unites everyone. Yeah.
It's like what I was saying before with Murray coming in. It's like, you know, there's a feeling inside. You don't know what it is, how to describe it, but you know it means something. It's more than just, I'm going to the footy today.
Yep.
It's for a much higher purpose.
Yep. Speaking of higher purposes, Scotty, there's been a particularly significant sliding doors moment for the Collingwood Footy Club. Last weekend against Sydney, you lose Daniel Wells. He comes in his comeback game, kicks 3 goals to halftime, looks every bit like the silky playmaker and star that he's been for the bulk of his career despite these injuries. And then as it happens, you know, the bad luck strikes again. He goes down with a knee injury. He's going to sideline him for 3 months. Maybe we will see him again. Maybe we won't. But then the storyline about Matthew Schoenberg comes out and this guy shows enormous resilience. Great character to come back from his third knee reconstruction. I mean, how difficult must that be to go through 1, 2, and 3? And at the weekend, he's back in the VFL and trying to get a crack back into your team.
Yeah.
As devastating as it was for Wellesley, how much pride.
Yeah, it's like mixed emotions almost because, you know, you obviously don't go, oh, well, sort of offsets each other because one misses and then Shaz comes back. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I remember speaking to Wellesley after the game up in Sydney and, you know, hoping for the best and obviously getting the news of what it was and that, you know, the time frame around that as well. Yeah, you shattered for him. He worked so hard. I think it was almost was Queen's birthday last year that he did his foot, the Liz Frank or Liz Frank, whatever it's called. And then, yeah, and then like to see how he played, like it was like, you know, he was playing dry weather football up there in Sydney and it was wet. I think he had eight or nine possessions and a half, kicked three goals. Yeah, and I think that game also gave him great self-belief that, you know, his body can stand up to footy. I know it was only a half or whatever it was, but, you know, you're pretty unlucky to get that contact injury. Yeah, so I think, you know, with Wales and talking to him that he's going to try and make that push and give himself every chance because if we can get to finals and, you know, go deep or whatever and we need him, there's an opportunity and he knows that. He knows that he can perform. And that was his first AFL game in 12 months and it looked like he'd been playing for 2 years straight. So
you've always had very strong belief in him. I reckon the public went off him and and lost faith in his ability to have an impact.
Yeah.
But you've been pretty steadfast on him, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I see him every day. I see how he trains. Even with the VFL, like I see how he plays. And it mightn't be, you know, he has 30 at VFL level, but I've just seen him have two possessions that end in two goals. Mm. So give me a guy like that that's value for money type with the ball in hand over a guy that can have 10 and a quarter and no scores. So, yeah, I just knew that if he got his chance, he'd make the most of it, and he was. So, and the beauty, I think, with our program over the last few years is we've seen stories like this. So Goldie went down the preseason, come back. I think his first AFL game was the first final. Mm-hmm. Last year, so Wellesley knows that we're a club that will support him through this, and if the opportunity is there, and he's right to go at round 20, round 21, whenever it is, if he puts his hand up and we need him, he'll be more than ready for us. And it's great that he's going to have a go for it because, you know, best case scenario is I'm sure he's dreaming of is potentially being part of a pretty successful campaign, and worst case scenario is he doesn't get back. But the best case scenario is where the carrot is.
He's going to have to commit himself to his recovery to get back in 3 months. But you think, what difference could he have made if he'd played in your grand final side last year?
Yeah.
Maybe.
And it's the same difference, as you mentioned, with Shaz. You know, he was playing outstanding footy last year in the first half of the year.
Yeah.
You know, on talls, smalls. And Shaz is another guy that I'm extremely bullish on.
Ball use.
I know it sounds funny, but in today's football, these, like the two that we're talking about are footballers. And, you know, if you put them up on the athletic profile or whatever, they're probably not the most athletic guys, and you know, Wells is lightning quick, all that, but you can't teach the game sense these guys have. So
you've always likened him to Burgoyne. Shaz.
I just like just the way they play, they see the game. Like I was saying, you know, Shaz did his first full ground main training session with us 2 weeks ago and we gave him like a big round of applause, like, you know, welcome back, Shaz. So he's playing in the sort of the VFL team for the weekend just to, you know, help prepare us for the AFL game. And so we're doing some match sim. First ball gets kicked in the forward line. Shaz back with a flight mark straight away. And it's like, how is he there quicker than anyone? Because he's not faster than anyone, but he can just read it, play. And I sort of chuckled to myself. I was like, here's a guy coming off his knee in the first bit of match sim. You're probably all right to just stand on your guy and not go near anything. You just want to get through. Back with the flight, bang, mark. Gets up, kicks it. Next ball comes in, flies across 30 and spores it out of bounds. It's like, yeah, it's great to have him back because, yeah, three knee recos, the rehabs, how lonely it is. And, you know, you try and offer him much support as you can, but when everyone walks out that door for training and you're sitting inside doing your leg weights, it can be pretty lonely.
So, it's an empty gym.
Yeah, and I think him and Dunny have worked well together in their rehab process and formed a really good relationship there. So, yeah, looking forward to, you know, Shaz making a claim because no doubt that he can add to us in the back half of the year.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him out. I mean, I reckon three knee recos would have broken a lot of people. would probably amazing to think how much resilience he's shown throughout that period.
Yeah, so he had the foot as well when he first started.
Yep.
So
remember going back to the Richmond game last year when he did it, and just the feeling after that match. Richmond won. You were good for about three quarters, and they kicked away in the last term. Just the feeling, Nathan Buckley's press conference. Everyone was just so. Everyone, I reckon, across football was so shattered for him.
Well, you can. I think was it Alex Rance round one this year as well.
Yep.
Like it's just, you know, you got. You'd almost, if you could, you'd give back the 4 points.
Yeah.
You'd give back 8 points, 12 points, whatever it needed just to make sure these guys are healthy because, yeah that in those instances, it's more than just a game.
Yeah. Cocker, have you noticed Scotty's Instagram posts have been showing a lot of his half-nude self in the sauna recently? Have you seen the
I feel like this discussion happened off the WhatsApp.
No, it hasn't. But have you noticed it? Is it sort of acceptable behaviour? Because I've been seeing a lot of Scott's rig lately. And I'm just
let me just have a browse through.
In his sauna, and he's always like, don't you hate it when you're sitting in your sauna? Which isn't very relatable to us, I would imagine. I don't think, Jay, you don't have a sauna.
I don't have
in
a sauna at home. No.
Well,
or his infinity pool out the back.
That is the key to my recovery.
Is it?
The sauna, absolutely.
This isn't a paid endorsement.
This is you two on your own little WhatsApp chat. We're going to talk about that. What about the blow up during the week between you two?
We got a bit frosty because Cocko was trying to.
I was trying to.
I've up to 25 messages about abuse.
He was up by.
Yeah.
And I just needed.
Ugly ginger.
Wanted the best for the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jay was stressed.
We have high.
Were you the newsbreaker of Brad Scott?
No, that was Robbo broke that story.
I thought it was Tom Brown.
Oh.
Tom Brown, Triple M Hot Breakfast.
How does that get out?
How does that get out? Well, people at the club knew, didn't they? Because it was clearly been discussed. It led to an amazing 24 hours because as the players rocked up for the game the next day and I was still doing some stuff Triple M down there, I mean, they hadn't heard from the coach officially. He hadn't spoken to them properly about whether that was going to be his last game. I mean, what a weird situation for the players. How distracting. Yeah. And then Scotty says that half the players were in tears or agitated, emotional in the team meeting. Have you ever been in a situation like that?
Nah, not that I can recall. Like, I know Mick's last game, we all knew it was his last game as coach, but I think we had the added element of that he was sticking around to help, you know, like sort of be the director of coaching anyway. So we knew that he'd still be around the club, but
is that ever going to happen?
It folded it the way it worked out. It didn't happen, but in our last game, we thought it was going to happen. So, I
think you guys are a bit slow on the uptake.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're pretty gullible footballers. So, it's just, I don't know. It was like, I just felt like even looking back on it, even, you know, I know we're a couple of weeks post now, but I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like that wasn't initially that's probably not how they wanted it to play out.
No.
And then what's the saying? Loose lips sink ships.
Steel tongue makes a wise head.
Yeah. So that's what my other grandpa used to say to me all the time. Steel tongue makes a wise head.
So did the news coming out about Brad Scott fast track that whole situation? So what would have happened if it didn't come out? Would it have played out over time or?
Yeah, I think they just would have had a press conference. That week or the following week would have been a short-term announcement. But I think if you've got a coach and a club who have mutually agreed to part ways at some point that year, I like the call of making the cut. Well, yeah. I mean, because if your investment is wavering or you're thinking about other things, then that's probably time. What it does do is put a very interesting microscope on the rest of the list because North Melbourne now is going to make a full assessment on their list, what direction to take this rebuild, only once they've appointed a new coach. Now, that could be months away. So if you're Sean Higgins, Ben Brown, Ben Cunnington, Robbie Tarrant, you're wondering what the future holds for you, surely, because if this club needs to trade out to get picks in and go back to the draft and do something it hasn't been able to
Does
do probably
work?
For 10 years... Well, I wouldn't have thought. Well, I think it makes it very difficult for the senior players not knowing what's around the corner. And you would know better than me, but it makes you really focus on your role and your short-term job despite the uncertainty.
I know that, say, like, because Scotty's gone, but you still got your list manager there. You still got your head of football there. So I feel like the discussions would still be – the direction is there. Unless The one thing that I would think is a senior player, if the list manager left, the head of football left, the senior coach left, then you're in limbo. Like, what's happening? Where does the new coach see this football club's direction? Because, I think it's almost like the myth of football is to rebuild. You've got to start all over again. You've got to get rid of all your senior players.
Mm-hmm.
I would almost argue they're the ones you've got to keep the most.
Mm.
Because if you bring in young kids and they don't have any direction and they don't respect the senior players, or there is no senior players, your rebuild's going to take 5 to 6 years longer. So you keep all these guys and you never know what. You never know. Like, this, it could be, for North, it could be 18 months away. You don't know how quick it's going. You look at the Bulldogs. I think when Bevo come in, it was the furthest away. Every person that I knew tipped them to win the wooden spoon.
But what they did, Scott, is they got Stringer and McRae with picks 5 and 6.
Yeah. That was before Bevo's time. They also lost Griffin, their captain, at the same stage. Yeah. So,
Callan Ward.
And then you have a look at the guys that played in the grand final. Rob Murphy. Oh, sorry, not Bob Murphy, wasn't in the granny, but instrumental part of that 2 year period.
Mm-hmm.
His leadership, Dale Morris.
Yeah. And I'm with you on that. Yeah.
Had Liam Picken playing. There's some really good, solid citizens that show them the Bulldog way.
Yeah.
If you don't have that,
yeah,
your rebuild's going to take a long time.
And St Kilda have acknowledged they underestimated that, losing Rewalt and Montagna, exposing. I mean, Melbourne did that with James McDonald, punting its captain ridiculously back in the time. So that, I do agree with you, but they've still got to come up with the picks.
Yeah.
You know, and so everyone's going to be tradable. If I'm a club, Scotty, I would go, and you could get Sean Higgins.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And it's like when you say, where should North Melbourne search for a coach start? Well, make your wish list and then ring them.
Yeah.
And if they say no, they say no. But it's on you if you didn't ask the question and they were actually available. So, I think everyone would – it's like every year, everyone's always looking to pick the eyes out of other clubs' lists and who's falling out of favour and whatnot. So, it would be interesting time, but I dare say all those guys will stay at North Melbourne.
Ben Cunnington looks like a very Hawthorn player to me. Or if I'm Carlton and you miss out on Steve Canelio and you need someone to ride shotgun with Paddy Cripps, I reckon someone like Ben Cunnington. Or in Melbourne and need a ball user.
I hope he stays at North because I love how Cunnington plays. I reckon him and Goldie have an exceptional relationship with how they play, and they barely – I don't know Cunnington very well because he doesn't speak that often, but him and Goldie just have that look on the ground, that sort of look at an area, and that's where the ball goes, and then – no matter what, Cunners is just there getting it. So he's a freak player, I reckon, and someone who's been underrated in our comp for years. And if him and Cripps played together, you'd be very sore the next day after playing against them too.
I've heard when he bumps you, it's like the heaviest,
he's
hardest.
He's huge, Cunners. He's so big, and he's got probably the best don't argue in the comp. So
better than Dusty.
Him and Dusty would be on par. As I said that then, I was like, Dusty's don't argue, but
I was told he's farm strong, Ben Cunnington.
Farm, whatever that means. I grew up near a farm.
Yeah.
I'm not farm strong.
Near
a farm. I didn't get no farm strength.
This has been a heavy jock and journo this week.
Do you like mid-season trade?
Love it. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, mid-season draft.
Yeah. I love the stories that come from it, the romance, the opportunity to pluck the guy who...
How good's the Bulldogs one?
Ryan Gardner. Yeah, he's playing this weekend.
Goes from... VFL and like, what is it? Admittingly, or whatever it's the word.
Admittedly.
Yeah, he is plays for their VFL side. So they've obviously, he's playing in the system, so he knows how it all works. Come straight up though. Imagine that. You've gone from VFL on AFL list, now playing in Perth this weekend. So good.
And then you got a story like Marlon Pickett.
Yep.
Who spent some time in prison, changed his life. Much like Andy Cracker, really.
Yeah.
He's been one of the best stories in footy over the past 10 years. And then Essendon desperately needed the ruckman. Sydney pulled the rug from out underneath their feet. I reckon they were filthy on the night, Essendon. From what they were putting down and I was picking up, they were absolutely fuming.
Yeah.
But they get a half-forward flanker anyway.
Yeah.
What do you reckon about trading, mid-season trade period?
I reckon in the next...
He tweeted about this.
Yeah, next year I reckon it will be in, but if it's not next year, it'll be the year after. It just gives, like what we're doing with the mid-season draft, you're giving guys an opportunity to come in and play AFL and get on a list. Now you're giving guys that have been frozen out, and everyone knows, like, there's players at certain clubs that aren't going to get a look in for the rest of the year, or they might, if something, you know, something goes horribly wrong injury-wise, they might come in and play. So there's players on every list that clubs could use right now.
Yeah.
Logistically, how it works, don't know. That's got much smarter people will figure that out than me. But you probably have.
I've got a solution for you, Scotty. Why wouldn't you just restrict it to rookies? Because then it's their late round draft pick exchanges. It can't lead to tanking. You're not swapping first round picks. It's minimal impact on your salary cap, and then you're swapping guys who are desperate for an opportunity.
So I was thinking if you just made it limited to players, so you can't get rid of a player for a pick.
Swap one for one.
It's got to be a player for a player.
Yeah. It would be so hard to get an equivalent though all the time. You need the extra cachet to make up the differences.
So then on that, could you not just pay, if you got a player, that club has to pay a tax if they go over their cap. Say you're not allowed to go over your cap by more than 300
mm-hmm.
with a mid-season draft
mm-hmm.
or a mid-season trade. Mm-hmm. And if you do, say if you hit 300, that's the threshold, then you get taxed a certain amount on that money to make it work. So you can't then go, oh, well, we're struggling here. Let's go try and get $1 million player. Yeah. You can't, because if your list is in the position salary cap wise.
Yeah.
And it's never going to be, the top 10 players on each team or whatever that. It's going to be the guys who want an opportunity. And that most people know that we'll probably go look for it at the end of season anyway. Get them started now.
That's why I think possibly it's best for the bottom end players, the rookie list. Because if you got a club if you could do it now and you got North Melbourne who could swap out Sean Higgins or Ben Cunnington, potentially almost lead to a tanking claim and then bolster a Hawthorn or a Geelong, mid-season. I think when you deal with the top end stars, problems.
So they're just going to do that at the end of the season potentially then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think mid-season it has potentially two bigger impact.
Yeah, okay.
And then with salary cap, 800,000 or $1 million players, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think maybe the bottom end.
It will definitely spice up the mid-season. Because I reckon that with the buys, it goes into a real lull.
Grind time. Season. Big boy month.
Yeah, because it goes, six games for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Everyone's got buys. So, it hits that little bit of a halt where the momentum stops.
Before we finish up, you got to go to training. Did you hear the Paddy McCartan interview? And
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago. I think I just heard snippets of it when he was talking about how he just struggles to do everyday things. And then I heard Billy Brownless say that I think his daughter goes out with Paddy McCartan, that mm-hmm. They were at a cafe and he couldn't walk from the cafe back to the car. His daughter had to get the car and come pick him up. So, as I said, when people speak about that and they're that open with it, you just feel so sorry for the bloke that, he's real. It's not even about him being a footballer. It's about him getting back to full health. But a large part of who Paddy McCartan identifies himself as is a footballer, though. He's played juniors. He was a star. He was number one draft picked. He's what he loves doing is football, and that be taken away. And have the head knocks and the lingering questions. And I heard him say, he doesn't know if he's going to be right today, tomorrow, 6 months, a year. That'd be so scary. So
frightening.
You just hope that he gets all the support he needs. And and then if he can get back to football, that's a bonus. But stay involved. I think to stay involved with football would be important because you've got all the boys there, all the support. And then St Kilda would be really good in trying to find a way to keep him involved.
Waking up in pools of sweat in the middle of the night, severe headaches, loss of memory, sensitivity to light and sound makes it hard to be in a football club.
Yeah.
We did the interview with him on Triple M last week on Sunday, and I thought there were several times in the interview he was actually going to cry.
Yeah.
That was how emotional he was sort of telling it about the time. It had a massive impact on everyone in the room because it was just so raw. And his eyes were sort of glassing over at times. Just sort of illustrating the day-to-day struggle to do the most basic of things. So everything crossed that he can just be well, really.
Yeah, get better and do what he needs to do to just live a happy and good life.
Exactly right. Now, it's time for your left field All-Australian selection.
Can I make it from this club? Is that?
Yep, you can.
Jack Crisp.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one. I had not thought about him being all Australian. So what's so great about Crispy?
He plays halfback here, if you don't know. And
sometimes Coco, you think that, you know, he could take the half volley and just illustrate why.
Yeah.
Just a normal.
Well, it's a left field. Would be it's great. A left fielder, and everyone's you're surprised.
It's a good
then.
One. Yeah, it's a good one. So tell us why.
Half back, reliable every week.
Yeah.
Gets the job done. Defends well, attacks well, gets a fair bit of the pill, and has a really big impact on how we play our footy. So.
And hasn't missed a game in a long time.
Hasn't missed. I don't. Oh, he reminds everyone, but I think he's played over 100 straight.
Yeah.
If there's any milestone, Crispy will let you know. Even if it's like it's his 50th game at the MCG, he'll let you know.
Really?
Yeah, and he'll ask probably for an extra ticket or something for his family.
Has he got that real attention to detail? Is he, or is he? What's that about?
Crispy? Yeah, I think he just likes the fact that he's got a few milestones. Like, wow. He played his 100th Collingwood game.
Me.
Yeah, he played his 100th Collingwood game and got some extra tickets and some extra room passes and. Yeah. If I went in after this, seen him at the club and was like, hey, how many games have you played at the moment?
Mm.
Straight.
He knows.
Bang. Straight away. Right. I like that.
Crispy always.
Who's yours?
Look, I don't know how left field this is. Sorry, Cocker, I'm away from the microphone. I don't know how left field this is, but for me, I don't know who's going to go. James Sicily would be one of my first picked on a back flank. And you're unsure about that, Scott. But I think the way he reads the ball and uses the ball, to me.
Yeah, and I also think Brody Grundy will probably get in there in the ruck.
Oh, you think it's that obvious?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Left field, oh, that is so poor. James Sisley's a gun.
Yeah.
If you watch any Hawthorn,
yep.
He's so good. Is such
he
a
their
good
best,
player.
Is he their best player?
Oh, I don't. Yeah.
You won't
there's
buy
no,
into
there's
that?
There's no such thing as, like, best player in a team. And there's well, important players.
Is he their most important player?
He's a very important player. But
is he their most?
There's no player that you can't cover
yeah.
at a club. And do you know what? In probably fairness to that,
yeah.
it would be your ruckman. They're the hardest to cover because, you know, if you don't have Sanderlands, Gorn, Grundy, Goldstein, Cruiser, all these guys,
mm-hmm.
then you literally go back to, like, who's the next in? And it's more your developing type because you've got – your ruckman, who you know, Brody's going to be there for 10 years, touch wood. And then, you know, Lynchy comes in after him, but Lynchy gets that time to develop underneath Brody. You can see with Richmond, Rance went down. Everyone's like, that's it. They're done. They can't win a grand final without Rance. They can't. Oh, Rewalt's hurt his knee. They can't win. They've won six in a row or something. Like, it's system. Everyone underestimates how important the system is, and guys can come in, you can shuffle, you can play within your system. So, you know, we haven't had Geordie, Coxie, Darcy Moore the last few weeks, and we found ways to get the job done.
You got great depth. What did you think about James Sicily's suggestion, Coco? Was that real captain obvious? Or?
I actually thought the obvious one would come from Pendles. Normally he's like, I don't know, like Tom Mitchell or Paddy Cripps.
Tom Mitchell would have been a left of field one at the moment.
Yeah. All right, I stuffed up. Maybe I'll try and come up with a better one. I only thought of the idea as I was saying it earlier in the podcast. So
bring your All-Australian team next week.
What about Gary Ablett? Is he in the All-Australian team?
Yeah, it'd be close.
Mid-season team.
I like that one. That's better.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay.
That's better.
Yeah. Well, if he stops fighting people on the field.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You can make the All-Australian side if you get suspended.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't mind cuffs. That one. Yeah.
Are you going to get all aggressive when you finish up? Like when you get like real old and like real slow. Are you gonna do you gather knuckle like Gazzy?
Maybe I get a goal of the year nomination. So they might kick one off the slide this week.
I don't think there's any dramas with him getting any slower. I don't think that's gonna happen anytime soon.
Mate, you're in magnificent form, selling candy all over the place.
You might be able to add Brownlow medalists to the start next year.
Do you know what? You actually might be a left field All Australian selection because you've been snubbed in recent years. So do you give not only do you have you been giving lip to the umpires, but do you give lip to the All-Australian selectors
I don't. I just, you know, you can highlight people's strengths and weaknesses and my strengths aren't shining enough.
We've got some Twitter questions.
Oh, yes, go, Cocker.
I'll get them in. This one is for Scott from Johnny Goring. He said, out of all your current teammates, who do you think is a future senior coach?
Future senior coach.
Good question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Other than yourself.
On your Johnny.
On our list, I think Lyndon Dunn could be a senior coach one day. He's heavily involved already with the AFLW and, yeah, I reckon he'll be a great football person for many years.
Mm.
This one is from Tone Lock. Who doesn't shower after a game?
Tom Phillips.
Oh. Why? Why does he not shower?
No, well, in fairness to Flip, we come back here after the game and do recovery, so everyone's in the water. So, yeah, we're pretty good.
And what's the latest?
I stole Manny's towel a couple of weeks ago, and he wasn't happy about that. He went to grab it, and I said to Steele, have a look at Manny here, you'll crack this. And he's grabbed his towel, and he grabbed it, and he looked at his hand like, why is this wet? And I may have accidentally dropped it in a bit of water as well. So he was spewing.
Everyone's still wearing their Speedos in the showers? What's the rule there?
No rules.
Is there a mix of
your ice bath.
Yep.
You're doing in your Speedos or your shorts because you want to keep everything as warm as possible.
Gotcha.
And because you're going hot, cold.
Yep.
Where were we in the weekend? Sydney. Up there.
Yeah.
That wasn't an ice bath. That was something I've never seen before. That was like my pubic bone was hurting after 15 seconds. Like it was burning.
Really?
I don't know why, but it was burning me.
Why?
It was so cold.
Yeah.
And playing in Sydney, this is a topic for another day, but
okay.
I believe they do something with the grass up there that could affect how sides play, but we'll talk about that next week.
Oh.
Anyway.
Oh, boy.
Controversy. Yeah. This one from Shannon Blake, it's more of just a statement. He said that we need to get Juddy on the pod.
We can get
Juddy. Jay-Z can pull strings and get Juddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he might be. There might be some news on that front anyway.
Maybe that
for next week as well.
Scott. Yeah.
This one as well. Apparently we're getting shout-outs on Scotty and Swanee's podcast.
Are we?
Beautiful.
And,
it's a form of flattery, isn't it?
Yeah, they were. Steve Hobbs wants to know when we'll give them a pump-up.
Their podcast?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Scotty and Swanee.
Well done to Scotty and Swanee on doing their podcast. The more people out there, the better.
Yeah.
Talking... Loving a game. Well done, boys.
I imagine we talk about some different stuff.
Might have a listen to one.
Oh, yeah. Well done.
Jack Dawson. Scott, can you explain the sauna thingo that's in your home and how it helps after a game? Yeah, this is not a paid promotion.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I do a sauna probably 2 to 3 times a week.
Which company?
Sunlighten. That's where I get the sauna from.
Now it's a paid promotion.
Well, I hope it's paid now. So I do that. The way that I put it for people is if you went and did an 8K run in a heat room on a treadmill, you'd be just dripping of sweat, right? So I go sit in the sauna for 45 minutes, sweat all those toxins out of my muscles, helps relax me, helps me sleep. I stretch in there, loosens me up heaps. And Melbourne's 8 degrees at the moment, and in my sauna, it's 70 degrees. So, and then I jump straight into my pool. Hot and cold contrast. So, huge part of what I do for recovering to get up for games.
We'll have to start doing that, Jay. This one's actually for you, Jay, from Nicholas Peck. He said, what type of coffee did you spit on Steelo last week?
What an absolute low point that was. It was a strong latte, and I'm still having nightmares about it. Stay humble. You know, these sorts of moments ground you in life. So
absolutely, they do. I just can't believe how much coffee was in your mouth.
Too big a swig, wasn't it? Too big a swig.
Some people think you put the moz on him because he came out and he got hard tagged, had a bit of a quiet week.
It's probably the first guy that's not performed after being on the pod.
Yeah, everyone on the pod has performed really well.
You live and learn. Tweet at Jock and Jerno. Next episode, give us your questions. We love answering them. Sure, we're going to have another special guest on soon. Alex Rance could be next up. He's agreed to come on. Just working out the schedule. Can't wait to have the Richmond superstar on Jock and Jerno next week. Hey, Scotty, enjoy the slide. I'm sure you'll be going down there. What a generous offer, and can't wait to see you go down there, mate.
Cheers.
Thanks. All the best for the game. Coco, outstanding as usual.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for listening on the Jock and Jerno show. We appreciate it. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening.